Before we get into it, be advised that this series contains bad language and references to violence. January 6th. Among the thronging crowds of MAGA supporters, a short man with dark hair and bright blue sunglasses approaches the U.S. Capitol. He's holding his smartphone out in front of him, talking to it as he walks.
What's up, everyone? Let's flip and go. It is cold as a motherfucker out here. How's it going? Happy day.
The guy is a well-known live streamer. He goes by the name Baked Alaska. Like all streamers, he makes his living by winning subscriptions and tips from his online audience, whose comments cascade down the screen of his phone as he walks. You can hear him calling out his fans at the start, like every streamer does.
Yo, what's up, brilliant genius? Jimmy Salami? Nicholas 555? Esoteric Groiper? I'm good. Come on in.
But Baked Alaska isn't just another streamer. He's a far-right prankster and agitator who's been arrested many, many times for the things he's done on stream. In fact, as he comes into the Capitol, he's on parole for macing someone in the eyes just last month, December of 2020. Simply by being in D.C., he's breaking the terms of his release. But he doesn't care. For a far-right streamer like Baked Alaska, the Stop the Steal rally is too lucrative an opportunity to miss. In the next half an hour, Baked Alaska will be inside the U.S. Capitol, streaming the siege in real time.
We got over 10,000 people live watching. Let's go. America first! America first!
He's giddy with excitement. Those 10,000 viewers are hitting the like button, sending cash, and buying monthly subs.
Thank you for the monthly sub, hell yeah!
In return, Baked Alaska provides the content they crave.
We had a fraudulent election, and we are all here. Everyone here is a patriot and a hero.
For their attention and their money, Baked Alaska will do whatever they want. If they ask him to get in the face of a cop in full riot gear and cause a scene, he'll do it.
You're a fucking oath breath, you piece of shit! Fuck you! Fuck you! Fuck you! You piece of shit!
He'll go on a rampage, bursting into a senator's office and picking up the phone.
Hey, let's call Trump! Let's call Trump, yes!
Another rioter thinks it's a bad idea.
Trump would be very upset, right?
But Baked Alaska is made of stronger stuff.
No, just say we love him. We love you, bro. No, he'll be happy. What do you mean? We're fighting for Trump.
I guess Trump wasn't home. So Baked Alaska makes do with a pretend call to the Senate.
Hello, U.S. Senate. Yes, we have a fraudulent election. I would like to report.
His screen lights up with approving comments and tips from his fans, eagerly watching at home.
Yeah, we need to get our boy Donald J. Trump into office. Yeah, can we do that real quick? Oh, yeah? Oh, thank you. Let's go.
For Baked Alaska and streamers like him, the Capitol riot on January 6th wasn't just an ideological crusade. It was a cash cow. The ADL claims he made $2,000 just from entering those congressional offices.
Yo, thank you for the host. Thank you for all the new followers. Hit that follow button. I appreciate you guys. Thank you for being here. I love you.
The assault on the U.S. Capitol is probably the best documented mass crime in history. Every second of the day was filmed and photographed from a dozen angles by police body cams, by media crews.
Look at this, these protesters are inside Statuary Hall.
And by streamers like Baked Alaska.
We got over 10,000 people watching! Let's go!
At first glance, a fringe online personality like Baked Alaska doesn't seem like he's worth much attention. He's kind of a political clown, a grifter chasing clicks, willing to debase himself in any way for the love of strangers.
Let's call Trump, yes!
But it pains me to tell you, Baked Alaska Matters. His ascent to far-right stardom was a flashing light on the cultural dashboard. But it was a warning that most people, including myself, chose to ignore. So, I'm going to look back at a time when characters like Baked Alaska started to emerge online. Because if we'd paid attention to yahoos like him 5 years ago, then maybe, just maybe, things would have turned out differently. From the teams at Cool Zone Media, iHeartRadio, and Novel, this is The Assault on America. Episode 4. The Canary in the Coal Mine. Baked Alaska was born Anthem Gionet on November 16, 1987. His parents were devout, pillars of the community type Christians, who still do a ton of charity work in poor parts of Russia. In fact, five of young Anthem's siblings were adopted by his parents on their trips abroad. After a sheltered upbringing in rural Alaska, Gionet moved to Los Angeles in the 2000s to study film and marketing. He got involved in the music business and seems to have decided that the name Anthem didn't fit anymore. He rebranded himself Baked Alaska, presumably because he was a guy from Alaska who liked to get baked. Maybe there was something about taking a new identity in a new city, hundreds of miles away from his devout upbringing, that unlocked a wildness in Anthem. Whatever the reason, he soon got a reputation as a live-wire character, always ready to pull stunts for the lols.
The thing to say was, do it for the Vine. And he had sort of come to prominence as like somebody who would do anything for the Vine.
That's Ben Smith. Ben was the editor-in-chief of the website BuzzFeed back in the 2010s. Back then, BuzzFeed was just starting out and growing like mad. Ben hired Baked Alaska for his viral video skills, which he honed on his incredibly dumb Vine account.
I'm sorry, Mom. I never went to school. But guess what? I got a 4.3 GPA in eating ass.
You remember Vine, or maybe you don't. It was a short-form video platform that was big for a year or two in, like, 2014. The thing people used to say back then was,
do it for the Vine.
Do it for the Vine.
Do it for the Vine!
Whatever it was, Gionet would do it.
One of the things he'd like to do for the Vine was to go into like a convenience store and buy a gallon of milk and pour it over his head.
Damn, I'm thirsty.
This was exactly the kind of zany and harmless content that made BuzzFeed such a powerhouse in the 2010s. Baked was a natural fit at the company.
It was sort of a team full of people who had a lot of them had been kind of misfits in whatever media or environment they'd been in. You know, very diverse group. His closest friends were like a trans guy and a black woman, and so who sometimes I think talked among themselves about their sense of feeling like they were really different from other people in the media business.
At the time, BuzzFeed was essentially a platform hacking outfit. Their whole game was figuring out how to grab people's attention on platforms like Facebook and Twitter, using listicles, clickbait headlines, and infectiously shareable videos. Baked fit right in. He had a front row seat to BuzzFeed's rise, learning from the methods they pioneered.
His job was pretty straightforward. He wasn't so much making content as he was repackaging videos for Twitter, in particular, and other platforms, sort of re-editing stuff. And you know, these were often kind of sweet, silly, fun videos, you know, along the lines of, like, Americans try Mexican snacks for the first time.
I like Mexican chips and flavors 10 times better than American chips.
Mexicans try American snacks.
Smells like a fart a little bit.
Things like that.
You might remember that video where two people put rubber bands around a watermelon and they keep doing it until the thing explodes. That was a viral BuzzFeed video.
There's a sort of a genre of video.
Cats.
Easy to produce.
Cats.
Fun and silly.
Cats.
Did well on YouTube.
Cats.
Which was our bread and butter then.
Baked Alaska was someone with a natural sense of what people would watch and what they'd share. Soon, he wasn't just editing the videos. He was starring in them.
I woke up 15 minutes ago. I'm hungover. Let's get my ears pierced.
Here's one called Guys Get Their Ears Pierced for the First Time.
I kind of feel like there's two kinds of people in the world.
He sounds soft-spoken, almost shy, a million miles from the tough guy swearing at cops on January 6th.
I think it can look really good on some people, and then other people just look like douchebags. So I don't know how it's going to turn out for me.
You know, as folks remember him, he was sensitive. He took offense. He was kind of like worried about his image, worried about what people saw about him, kind of like full of machismo, but also kind of touchy. And there were kind of odd things once they were online to see. I think it was The Price is Right at a sort of company retreat or like, an outing. They all went to go see The Price is Right. And sort of somebody who was helping organize the event came up through the line to take everybody's identification and write down their names. And he just sort of ghosted, like he just sort of vanished because he didn't want to give his real name, which struck people as sort of eccentric.
Another eccentric side to Baked Alaska was his music. Remember, before he started at BuzzFeed, he was making waves in the LA music scene. He styled himself as a kind of Alaskan hillbilly white rapper.
I was just like, okay, this guy is cool as hell.
That's DeMario SB, a musician and artist based in LA. DeMario first heard about Baked back in the 2010s. Some of DeMario's music buddies told him about a viral video guy who was doing music and then shooting and editing his own videos. DeMario was impressed.
This kid was a machine, yo. Like, there was no beating him at that point.
DeMario and Baked met through common friends and started writing together.
We started playing Mario Kart, pretty much hit it off. Once that happened, competition was just growing, man. So I was like, all right, let's hang out, bro, let's hang out.
Here's one of Baked's songs from the time. It's called Bull Moose Trappin'.
Yeah, we got another one. Knuckles charge up, cause I'm Bull Moose Trappin'. Moose meat in my stash, pass another napkin, what's happening?
It's definitely different. Baked even had some success. He got into a beef with a rapper called Riff Raff, who was well known at the time because James Franco stole his look for a film called Spring Breakers.
Spring break.
It's all pretty weird.
Spring break forever.
Yeah. For a while, things seemed to be going well, but Baked had a problem.
Hold up.
That sensitivity that Ben Smith had noticed about him at BuzzFeed, well, that was a lot harder for Baked to deal with in the rap game. The way DeMario describes it, Baked was a sweet guy who couldn't handle negative comments under his videos.
People would either hate you, you know, put in the comments like you're whack and stuff, and like he would actually take that shit to heart. He just wasn't the type of person to have like super tough skin. He would just let people just ravish his emotions. You know, it really sucked.
DeMario says there were times he had to talk Baked out of quitting music, even out of suicide. It was as if Baked just had to be liked, and his audience as a rapper wasn't giving him what he needed. So, in 2015, Anthem Gionette, aka Baked Alaska, found a community who would show love to almost anyone.
Unbelievable!
As long as you showed them love first.
We are going to make our country great again. We are going to.
Yeah.
We are going to.
He jumped on the MAGA train.
Great again.
Great.
Honestly, he wasn't really talking about much politics before the whole Trump thing. I didn't really hear much, but after that, he just started being a whole different animal.
Build the wall, it just got 10 feet higher. Build the wall, it just got 10 feet strong.
Baked Alaska gave up his Bernie bro libertarian persona and threw himself into Trump world. He began a new career as a streamer, building on all the skills he'd learned at BuzzFeed. He kept up the music, it just changed a bit. He now made tracks like MAGA Anthem.
I just wanna make America great.
And, ironically enough, we love our cops.
Yeah. We love our cops, our law enforcement.
craftsmen. We love our military, they're important.
You're a fucking oath breaker, you piece of shit!
None of this endeared him to the L.A. rap scene, and DeMario and Baked Alaska drifted apart. When they had their last contact in 2016, Baked had already built a sizable audience of subscribers.
He brought me in one time. He was doing a live on YouTube. And after a while being there, I kind of like took it as like, damn, are you here to make fun of me now? Because most of his audience like predominantly were either Trump supporters or just racist motherfuckers that were making like memes of me and on his Reddit. And he actually just had me come in here and just play the monkey with the banana, you know what I mean? And I was like, damn. So this is the crowd that you have now? And you're laughing about it? Holy shit. Right? For sure, man. I see.
When Baked Alaska threw his close friend, a black man, to the racist online mobs watching his stream, it was a statement. He was going all in with the far-right influencer gig, no matter the personal cost.
I was done after that. I was like, I'm not even going to say anything to you, bro, but I can't sit there and support it. That's basically calling my own race the N-word with the hard R. You know what I mean? Can't do that shit, man.
DeMario was out.
Can't do it.
Meanwhile, Baked Alaska's Twitter output was getting so extreme that he was booted off the platform. The final offense was posting a picture of a Jewish conservative commentator photoshopped inside a gas chamber. Judging by his reaction in this 9-hour stream, the ban stung.
How am I going to get my account back? How am I going to get my freaking account back? My account, 200,000 followers, was just permanently suspended for no freaking reason.
Freaking no reason.
True to form, Baked soon released his feelings as a new song.
Twitter is fucking gay.
I guess Mark Zuckerberg didn't want Baked to write a song about him being super gay because Baked maintained his presence on Facebook. He would pull stunts like the old days at BuzzFeed. But his new tricks weren't so innocent. They might involve harassing people on the street.
We gotta preserve the white race, bro.
No.
Abusing clerks in stores and restaurants.
You need some more calories, don't you? Look at those rolls. Holy fuck.
How about fuck you?
Shut the hell up and get the hell out.
Oh, triggered!
Or spraying mace into somebody's eyes if his subscribers demanded it.
Fuck you, dude.
You're being a little pussy.
Hey.
Yeah, he attacked you.
Chemical assault.
The sensitive guy who was so spun out by negative feedback online that he considered taking his own life had now become an IRL bully and menace simply because his online audience loved it. To give him some credit, Baked Alaska was a pioneer. He successfully married far-right ideology with the zany viral stunts he learned at BuzzFeed, where he used to work for Ben Smith.
When you look at what he's gone on to do since, what do you think, what skills, I guess, do you think he took away from his time at BuzzFeed?
I mean, I think the reason we hired him and what he sort of perfected at BuzzFeed was this sense of what's going to work, what's going to go viral, what do people want, and how do you sort of feed it back to them? And I do think that we're in this environment where if you really have no compass at all, you can get pulled just more toward essentially kind of optimizing yourself into being a Nazi.
The Nazis were basically pacifists compared to us.
As Baked's online presence became more dangerous, he started attending rallies and hanging out with the type of guys who throw Hitler salutes instead of fist bumps.
You will not replace us.
In August 2017, he attended the notorious Unite the Right rally in Charlottesville.
Ultra-Marxist faggot.
Here he is chanting at that rally.
We're proud to be white, brother.
We're proud to be white.
We're proud to be white. Hail victory. Hail yeah.
This was just hours after a white supremacist terrorist attack that killed Heather Heyer, a 31-year-old anti-fascist protester. Baked's former friend, DeMario SB, was dumbfounded.
This is Baked Alaska that I met before? Like, damn, Baked. Don't you have black friends? Like, is it for the clout? Which we're all thinking, you know what I mean? Like, all these old buddies, like, says myself, like, dude, you just went nuts and you just basically want to get famous by this.
We'll never know what's in Anthem Gionet's heart, Whether his path from shy media guy to snarling neo-Nazi was a bid for fame or a reflection of his true beliefs.
Sometimes it's hard to tell how committed any of these people are to the views that they express because there's a lot of money sloshing around in this space.
We met Luke O'Brien in episode 2. He's an investigative reporter who focuses on bad actors on the right.
If you gain, you know, a big enough following on social media, and the way to do that is often to say extremely outrageous and inflammatory things, well, then money is going to come your way.
Back in our second episode, Luke was talking about Ali Alexander, the man behind the Stop the Steal disinformation campaign. Baked Alaska has none of Alexander's strategic sense or his organizing experience, but they were both willing to say the unsayable and to keep pushing and pushing into anti-democratic territory.
I've had many conversations with far-right extremists who have told me, hey, it's all just a troll. It's just a big game, right? But once you have been spending, 12 to 14 hours a day LARPing as an extremist or a neo-Nazi online, and you've done that for, you know, many years, well, that's just what you are at that point. And so I think that's what we've seen with a lot of these guys is that, hey, I see an angle here I can play. There's a bit of a grift that's going on. And they start pushing it further and further. And it has to get more extreme by nature. And eventually you are basically advocating for violent insurrection in the United States to overthrow our democracy. But you're making money off of it. So, hey, why would you stop?
Thank you for all the new followers. Hit that follow button. I appreciate you guys. Thank you for being here.
Baked Alaska never did stop. He followed the likes and the online engagement wherever they took him, from hillbilly rapper to racist MAGA streamer.
We gotta preserve the white race, bro.
In January 2021, he rode the algorithm right into the U.S. Capitol.
Unleash the Kraken! Let's go! Has the Kraken been unleashed?
Yeah, I think so.
Ben Smith was watching that day unfold, just like the rest of us. So, Ben, how much of his live stream during the attack did you watch?
I watched a lot of it.
What's going through your head while you're watching this, you know, having more of a connection or at least a different connection to this guy than a lot of people who might just be dipping in?
You know, it just made me think back through this whole era in which social media, you know, demolished the gatekeepers, and we were very much part of that. And I think people overrated the gatekeepers. I think, you know, I basically think this did a lot of good, but I also had a pretty utopian point of view on that and dismissed people like him as these little like mistakes and errors and marginal screw-ups around the edges, not as anything that was really central or important. And I think you look back and you think, oh, maybe he was the most important person. Like maybe this was the real thing that was happening, and the fun, celebratory, diverse videos were not the things that wound up, you know, driving people to storm the Capitol. It was this guy.
Would you say people like Baked Alaska, are you leaning more towards these people are kind of like oddball political charlatans, marginalized figures, or that they're kind of a canary in the coal mine culturally?
I, in retrospect, think that these folks were the canary in the coal mine, when at the time we thought they were just kind of marginal weirdos who were going to be swept aside by history.
By the time of the Capitol riot, Baked Alaska had been deplatformed by YouTube, PayPal, Twitter, and Venmo, among others. Almost every other platform followed suit after his live stream on January 6th. The guy who craved online engagement, who had optimized his entire life for clicks, was booted offline. Then the FBI came for him. On Saturday, January 16th, Baked Alaska was arrested at his home in Houston, largely thanks to the evidence from his own live stream. It's hard to say what must have been worse for him, losing his accounts or losing his freedom. Whatever the case, Anthem Gionette, aka Baked Alaska, went dark. But not for long. In early May, a gaming platform called Trovo let Baked Alaska back into his streaming account. For someone as online as Baked Alaska, 4 months had been a long time. It's safe to say he was happy to be back.
Yo! 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 Let's go! Let's get it!
Sure enough, he was right back to his old ways.
But we're live. We're live out here, and we're gonna have fun stream.
Minutes after beginning his first stream back,
Wait, what are you guys doing out here?
He accosted three middle-aged Hispanic women waiting at a bus stop.
Who are you? Who are you? Are you illegal immigrants?
Not long after that, he gets in the face of a black bouncer outside a members-only club.
Can I tell you a joke? Okay, yeah, let me tell you a joke. Black lives don't matter.
And so it goes. But after all this, at the end of the road, Baked Alaska's old buddy, DeMario SB, is still trying to make sense of what happened to the man he called a friend.
Like, what drove you to do this, bro? Like, Trump's not in office anymore now. Now what? You're stuck looking like an idiot. You lost people that will actually go to the bat for you, dude. You know? That's it.
So here's where I make a little confession. Baked Alaska and I came up as creators in almost the same place at the same time. While he was making viral videos for BuzzFeed, I was creating viral listicles for Cracked.com, the website that helped pioneer that particular form of content. I was never as much on the video side of things, but during the 2020 George Floyd protests in Portland, I was briefly the most popular live streamer in the city. In my case, I never took donations, and I stopped streaming once it became clear that law enforcement was using livestream footage for intelligence to help crack down on the demonstration. I was also afraid of winding up in the same situation Baked Alaska found himself in, deliberately manipulating events for the sake of content. That's not a position any good journalist wants to be in. Over the last few years, I found myself in the dual positions of being a content creator, someone who consciously develops and builds a fan base through new media, and also being a researcher who analyzes how creators, like Baked Alaska, influence and radicalize their fans. It's become clear to me that this sort of radicalization is not a one-way street. Baked Alaska used his talent at making viral videos to push fringe ideas about white genocide and Jewish conspiracies. But the fawning reactions of his most hardcore fans also pushed him to create more extreme content, which pushed him even further down the rabbit hole. I don't like influencer as a job title, but those of us who make podcasts and YouTube videos and live stream content do have a profound influence on the people who consume our stuff. Our society is an increasingly isolated one. In 1990, 33% of Americans said they had 10 or more close friends. Today, only 13% say the same. This gaping maw of loneliness at the center of American culture has opened millions of people up to being influenced in profoundly disturbing ways. When Anthem Gionet marched on the Capitol, he wasn't just offering his fans a chance to watch him. He was giving them the opportunity to influence history and his own life, and in those ways, to feel more connected to the world themselves. At least 10,000 people took him up on the offer and cheered on his assault on democracy itself.
I appreciate you guys. Thank you for being here. I love you.
And who knows? Maybe they'll get the chance to do it all again sometime soon. In the next episode, the virus enters the mainframe. The big lie is ushered into the Senate chamber by a ruthlessly ambitious young senator, one who'll do anything to get ahead, even at the cost of democracy itself.
I have heard from people like I've never heard before, and somebody has got to take their concerns seriously and speak up, and that's what I'm going to do.
Join me in episode 5, The Inside Man.